Hell Yes Life, episode 48. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a Hell Yes Life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell. This is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to live your Hell Yes Life. Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday. And Hell Yes Lifers, if you want to write a review, please visit hellyeslife.com/HYL iTunes. Also, if you've been listening to the Hell Yes Life podcast and you're getting inspired by our guests and you're starting to think, hey, wait a second, I want to live my Hell Yes Life, then I've got good news. Right now on hellyeslife.com, you can sign up for a free 5-part mini course that will walk you through the 5 steps to a Hell Yes Life. This course will help you find your Hell Yes, create your cringe-worthy vision, build your Hell Yes Day, and plan your first Hell Yes action, and more. If you're ready to jumpstart your Hell Yes Life, then head over to hellyeslife.com right now. Okay, let's get into today's episode. Hell Yes Lifers, today my guest is Clayton John Anger. Clayton is a 6-time award-winning author of the book The Ego's Code, Understanding the Truth Behind Your Negativity. In the book, Clayton explores the spiritual reasons for negativity, its purpose, and where it comes from. He explains the effect on the physical body, the mind, and how it impacts your life. Based in the United Kingdom, Clayton is also an internationally recognized psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and spiritual coach. During a meditation at Stonehenge, he received clear and detailed guidance about why we experience negativity, the true purpose of ego, and how to be free of it. On the show, we talked about how Clayton transitioned from being a tax specialist to becoming an author and spiritual teacher. We also talked about how you can understand and decipher your own negativity patterns, how to use what Clayton calls the WIN technique to bring down your stress levels, how Clayton realized that being a psychic medium was part of his path, and much more. We had a great conversation, Hell Yes Lifers. I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you. So let's dive in right now. Clayton John Anger, welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast. Are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
Hell yes, I am, Norman. It is fantastic to be here all the way from the UK. It's amazing.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Clayton. I'm really excited to speak with you and share your story with my listeners. I always like to start off by asking, what is your hell yes? And by that, I mean, what is that thing that really lights you up and makes you come alive?
Well, the one thing that really lights me up and enables me to come alive is when I'm on stage and I'm speaking and I'm working with an audience and I'm helping them to get the breakthroughs that they want to get in their life. And it's just, you know, and as I sit here talking to you, literally every cell in my body is just lifting up and vibrating. It's just such an amazing, amazing experience to be able to work with audiences and to come alive and help them come alive. It's fantastic.
I love it. I love it. And that's one of my big hell yeses too, is just live public speaking. So I can really identify with that. And then of course, what we're doing now is even a form of public speaking. So it's great to be connecting with you on that. So let's back up a little bit. And why don't you give us a bit of a 30,000 foot view of the life of Clayton John Anger. What, tell us about yourself.
Okay, 30,000 foot view. I live in the UK with my beautiful wife, Lindsay, and our beautiful daughter, Isabel, who's nearly 14, which absolutely blows my mind. We run a training and consultancy business during the day, and you know, and separate to that, I'm also a speaker, consultant, psychic medium. And I used to be, I always makes me surprise myself even these days. I used to be an accountant and a tax consultant specializing in mergers and acquisitions. And I left that life a long time ago to do things I absolutely love and that I'm passionate about and give me a hell yes.
That is great. Well, there's a lot of different things I could ask you about there. One note is I have a daughter as well. She's 7 and my mother's name is Isabel. So there's a couple of little interesting things there. I want to get into, so you basically have these two lives that you were living. Tell us a little bit about that transition time. So there you were working as a tax accountant. What spurred you on to this new life?
Well, I'd always wanted to run my own business. Didn't really know what was involved with that. But what I did know is that I really did not like accountancy or tax. I joined the professions many, many years ago when I was in my early 20s, and my motivator and my driver at the time was all about money. And funny enough, I didn't make any money, didn't make any material possessions. In fact, the complete opposite, you know, ran up lots of debt and, you know, actually created a bit of a mess in my life. And then there was a transitional point in my life where I split up with my first wife. And then I piled on loads of weight, you know, went up to 252 pounds. I had lots of debt and I wasn't embracing my spiritual gifts. You know, it was just an absolutely crazy time or a crazy year. And then just literally, I just walked away from everything. And, the one thing I didn't walk away from was my daughter. And I remember meditating and checking in and my guides, my meditation just said, if you stay, your daughter will never experience her father's love. And so I left. And that was the catalyst of massive, massive change in my life. 18 months later, I met my honey baby, lovely, gorgeous, sexy girl, my beautiful wife, Lindsay. And she has supported me and lifts me up and helps me to thrive in my life. And, you know, and we've developed our consultancy business together, and she's encouraged me with my writing and my speaking and just being out into the world. So it was that point. So Isabel's 14. So it was about 12 years ago, and everything in my life literally changed on a dime. And I wouldn't look back and change a thing.
So you really kind of hit a bottom point or a low point in your life, and just the old ways weren't working anymore, and you're kind of up against a wall. You had to figure out a different way to go forward, and it was really that final straw that, you know, where you were told, like, hey, you're never really going to connect with your daughter if you keep doing things the way that you're doing. So you changed. So I really admire that. So then what happened? So let's go back to that place of you realized you needed to make a change, but the road ahead is uncertain. So how did it develop from there?
Okay, that's a great, great question. So I remember actually going and speaking to colleagues at Deloitte, where I was working at the time. I remember going and speaking to friends and family and saying, you know, what should I be doing, you know, with my life? Rather than going inward, I actually went outward. And there was a consistency from most people. Everyone saying, well, you're really great with people. You're a really great speaker. You're really good at presenting. You're a really great coach. And I didn't have any of these official skills at that point, or official training or qualifications or whatever you want to call it that we need in the modern world. But there was so much consistency across it. And I thought, well, all these people can't be wrong. So the journey started. I did a little bit of training around NLP, and then I started to immerse myself in psychology, and then again later on in life, more recently around into neuroscience and psychotherapy. And I remember there was he's now a very, very good friend of mine, a friend of mine called Alan Lunt. And Alan was having some problems with his team in big corporates, and he said, you know, would you kindly come in and work with my team? And it was literally like, you know, the catalyst for the business that we have today. And I literally went into this organization. It was as corporate, big, big financial bank, and really did some funky stuff with them. And we did a program called Being True to Who You Are in business. And it was 2 days. And these guys, all these leaders, walked into this room, and they saw meditation cushions on the floor in a circle. There was what I call Masaromoto water in the corner. There was crystals in the room. There was panpipe music in the room. And they were either going to run away or they were going to come in. And they literally all came in. They embraced the environment. They fully got into everything. We went straight into a meditation. And they absolutely loved it. And I worked with this particular team for about 18 months and absolutely transformed them. And Alan is a very good friend of mine now. We've been friends for many, many years. But that was a catalyst about what was possible. And so I always like to do different things. And then it was about, I would probably say about 12 months after that, that I actually met my beautiful wife, Lindsay. And 2 or 3 months into our relationship, she was in the US on business. And I woke up literally, and I just had this urge. It was like I was being poked by my guides to say, right, you need to go to Stonehenge. And it was throwing it down with rain. I remember the day it was throwing it down with rain. And I know that Lindsay really wanted to go to Stonehenge. And I thought, wow, you know, there's this internal battle that's going on. And they said, no, you've got to go. You've got to go. So I literally got in the car and I drove to Stonehenge. And Stonehenge then wasn't like it is now. So now when you go there, because I went there recently, there's like this walkway that goes all around it. And you actually can't really get to the stones. But back then, you were able to actually get into the stones, or at least closer to the stones. And I remember throwing it down with rain. And I literally just sat there in the rain, dripping wet, and just went into a meditation. And there was the words that came through were the ego teacher. And I thought, I have no idea what that means, you know. And so I wrote it down in my journal. And then more information started to come through around the true purpose of the ego and why we experience negativity and the fact that negativity, spiritually negativity, is not negative. And then they literally sort of brought me back to the here and the now. And, you know, I wandered around, just sort of sat there in a bit of a daze. And then eventually I came back home. And then every day after that, I would probably say for the next 6 to 9 months, more information would come in just bit by bit. I could be out work. I could be out running or walking or just in nature. And I would get images and just different pieces of information. And I would just jot them all down in a journal. And then over time, I then had enough information to make sense of what was going on. And it was just a transformative time for me. And when I started my relationship with Lindsay, I was reading privately. So I was doing psychic readings for people privately and wasn't really out in the world, wasn't public with it. And then she encouraged me to share, you know, more and more and more. And now I read for people literally all over the world, from New York right the way through to Sydney and most countries in between. And the readings and the work from the ego's code, because the ego teacher evolved into the ego's code. And then that has evolved into events, which I now do, you know, all over Europe. And funny enough, actually over in California, and I'm doing one in Canada early December. And it's just, if I look back at that time when everything turned on its head, it was a catalyst for where I am now. And as I sit here talking with you, Norman, I am vibrating with, and just the joy and the gratitude is just flowing through me. And, you know, and I'm just so, so grateful for those triggering points in my life are actually taking place. And just everything has really started to come together. You know, it's been a journey. Don't get me wrong. Like when I wrote my book, the first draft of my book, I remember, there was a lot of fear around writing my book because I thought, oh my God, I'm really going to put this out into the world. It's going to seriously conflict with views around the ego and negativity. And, oh, you know what? I'm just going to write it. And there's a lot of personal stories in the book that, oh God, am I really going to put this out there? Am I going to tell the corporate CEOs that I work with that I'm a psychic medium? You know, what's that impact is that going to have on Sarios? Our consultancy, and actually it's had an amazing effect on that. And I read for a number of CEOs now that all over the world, and I work with them and I advise them and I consult with them in various different ways. And so it's just been a tremendous journey. And just finishing off the link with my book, when I wrote the first draft, you know, I actually thought, well, if I pay lots of money to work with somebody about my book, I'll write my book. And so then all these stories were coming up, you know, and I actually paid a lot of money to work with somebody to write my book. And then, but I didn't write it. It was really interesting. I procrastinated and procrastinated and procrastinated. And I talk about it in the book and why I was doing that and the fear of that. And then my publisher called me and said, if we don't have your book by the 28th of February, this was January, 2015. So if we don't have it by 28th of February, 2015, which is a month later, it won't be published until late 2016. And I literally, it was like like this big trigger that took place. And I looked at the first draft and just thought, that's just a load of rubbish, and threw it out. And I literally sat for 4 weekends and just sat and channeled all the information that I needed to channel. And I wrote the book in 4 weekends. And I was about to send it to my publisher, and my wife, Lindsay, said to me, she said, you know, you're not going to let anybody read it. And she was smiling. And then she said, well, why? You know, and I said, well, I've spoken to a few other people. And she said, well, why are you speaking to other people and not actually asking the one person who knows you the best about whether she would read it? And I said, I'm terrified about what you would think about it. And it was really interesting to experience that emotion that's coming up. Anyway, she read it, and she read it through the lens of a reader, and she gave me 141 review points about little tweaks. Like, put the definitions in. So there's lots of little definitions throughout the book, and a few tweaks and changes. And it was just an amazing contribution that she gave to me. And so then the book went out into the world, and it won 6 awards in the US, including the International Best Book Awards. And it just completely blew my mind in terms of how people embraced it, and, you know, the feedback that I had from it. You know, so many people said it just has this beautiful balance between spirituality, neuroscience, and psychology, and bringing that all together, but a very unique perspective on the ego and why we experience negativity. So it was a real, it was probably one of my biggest successes putting that out there. And it was a journey just to get that out there. And then when the book went out, the ebook was about to come, and I was getting in the way of the ebook, and it had to be perfect, and I was blocking it coming out, because once the ebook comes out, it can go global and international. And then I had to deal with some of the challenges that were coming up around that. So I dealt with that, and then it went out, and, you know, and it's done fantastically well, and I'm just so pleased with it. And now the audiobook is about to come out over the next couple of weeks. And it's just been an incredible journey, an exciting journey. And when I look back and I think about accounting and tax and how far I've come in terms of my own journey.
Yeah. It's quite a journey that you've had, for sure. Well, thanks so much for telling your story. It's just so exciting to hear, you know, that whole progression, that kind of story arc, really, of, you know, where you started out, and as far as, you know, kind of bottoming out in the way that you were living, to where you are today. Amazing. Let's cut right to the chase here. Your title is so great, because it really. You know, it makes me curious, right? I'm like, well, what is the ego's code? I've got to find this out. So I know that we won't be able to delve into this in probably sufficient detail, but give us a little taster about what's the ego's code about?
Okay, I can absolutely do that. So when I look back, you know, as I look back over my own life, and we all have patterns. And I noticed that in my early 20s, you know, I was experiencing deep depression, and I experienced deep depression twice. And then as I went on into my 30s, I noticed that I was sabotaging relationships that were really important to me. And then I noticed that I would be pulling my business down because I had a fear of success. And then I noticed that I would get really, really super fit and super healthy. And then actually, you know, I would find myself stuffing my face with chocolate to soothe an unknown pain. And there was all these things that was happening. And, you know, and I was experiencing different spirals and becoming immersed in negativity. And I thought, this is just ridiculous. There's got to be a reason for it. And all this was happening just before I went to Stonehenge. So cutting to the chase is that when we experience any form of negativity, whether it be feelings, emotions, behavior like procrastination, actions, reactions, or even those, that self-talk and the stories that we experience in our mind, whenever there we have negativity or hardship or challenges, there is a pattern to it. There is also a reason for it. And the pattern is what I call the ego's code. And what I talk about in my book is actually how to go about deciphering your own pattern so that you can go from actually rather than being stuck in the past, because when we experience negativity, what's actually happened, it's an echo or a whisper from the past. And so we're actually reliving the past in the here and the now. Every single time we experience negativity, we're literally being triggered back to the past. And so we can't be present. And so negativity will either keep us trapped in the past, or what it will do is it's energy, and spiritually, negativity is not negative. So it's energy which we can actually use as a fuel for success. So what I talk about in the book is actually how to truly understand the purpose of negativity, how to capture the learning from the negativity so you can transmute that energy and actually use it from a force for good. So basically, every single person, whenever we are experiencing any form of negativity, we're going back to the past, reliving the past in the here and the now, and it's the pattern. And it's the pattern that is the ego's code, and it's the pattern that we're able to decipher. And in my book, there's 16 exercises which you can actually work through, which will enable you to actually start to really work with and decipher the code. And if people want to have a shortcut, there's also a meditation, which I've now done, called the Ego's Code Meditation, which actually enables you to really get to the core learning of certain pieces of negativity and why you are experiencing that negativity and how to heal it in the moment. And that's the purpose of the meditation. So that's a quick 30,000 foot view of the ego's code.
Awesome. Great insight. And let me, I'm going to be a little bit of a devil's advocate just for anyone who's out there listening, about the idea that all negative, and by the way, I totally identify with the idea that I know that I'm familiar with the term like triggers, or trigger patterns or something, like when something's happening in our current life that is parallel something that's happened in the past, and there's a lot of energy around it, more so than what the current situation would really merit. So I can definitely identify with, the really big stuff is usually has some sort of underlying past element to it. But just wondering for somebody who might be listening. Okay, so let's say I'm stuck in traffic and somebody cuts me off and I get upset. How is that negativity connected to the past versus, hey, well, that guy just cut me off and that's why I'm feeling negative right now.
Okay, so that guy may have cut you off in the moment. Okay. But you don't. We have a choice about how we respond or how we react. So I can be effective. I can look at that and say, actually, I could say that guy cut me off, and I can allow that those negative energies. I can be triggered by that, and I can allow all that to rise up in me. The fact that that situation has triggered me, that I will have a relationship somewhere in the past, whether it be the current lifetime or past lifetime, that somebody has undermined me, has ignored me, I don't feel important, why didn't you see me? And so there will be, it's more than just that person cutting you off, because there's people in the world, including myself, in the past when someone's cut me off, I can think, what on earth are you doing, And I would take it personally and I'd say, okay, what's going on with that? But I know that there are people, and there's people in my life that somebody will cut them up and they'll say, oh, that person's clearly having a really bad day, I hope they get to work on time and everything's okay. And they really manage their own state and they don't get triggered by it. So if somebody's sat in traffic and they're getting triggered and they're listening to the show, I would actually really pay attention to it and ask yourself the question, why is that happening? Because this is feedback that you're getting. So very, very, very quick story. There's a lady, there's a friend of mine called Diane Hunter, and she works with horses. And the reason I love this story is because it just taught me a lot. Now, horses are then known for being very sensitive with energy. And actually, they don't have any sort of negativity or ego. So what happens is that when Diane invited Lindsay and I to go and work with horses when we were in Switzerland, and Diane had never met these horses before, she'd set this up for us, and she entered this ring, and these horses started to dance for her. And it was just amazing to see, you know, the gift that she had. And then she invites me into this ring. And I go in the ring and I think, oh, okay, I can do this. And the horses back away from me. And every time I moved towards the horse, they moved away. And I thought, and Diane that paused me and she said, okay, so you're experiencing fear. And I'm thinking, I'm not experiencing fear. And I thought, okay, so if this is feedback, she said you're getting feedback from your environment being the horses. So I actually went inward and I said, okay, so what is going on for me in this moment? And I realized in that moment that I was experiencing a deep unconscious fear because 12, 18 months earlier, Isabel had been thrown off of a horse, got trampled and broken a leg. And I was actually living that within me. And I thought, okay. So I then concentrated on changing my energy and letting that go. And as I changed my energy and I was experiencing gratitude for being there and, you know, and love for Lindsay and love for Diane and being able to do that, my whole energy changed and the horse came to me. So the fact that if I'm sat in traffic and I'm getting triggered by somebody cutting me off, you know, I have a choice in that moment about how I react or how I respond. And so that's feedback from me, from my environment.
So what, again, let's stick with the person in traffic example. Let's say the person, the anger has, or the negativity has come up, you know, they're about to say, the so-and-so cut me off or whatever. I've tried many a different things, or let's just say I have many different tools in my toolbox.
Yeah.
And I've gone down the road in the past of like, hey, you know, I'm just going to try to think positively or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
And what I find, you know, suppressing negativity hasn't worked for me. Sometimes Correct. It actually helps to have a, you know, an avenue to
absolutely
express that negativity, get it out of the body anyway. But what do we do when we're in that moment and we're feeling that negativity? You talked about kind of transforming it.
Okay, so first things first, let's talk about quick, I link this in, positive thinking doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because the reason the positive thinking doesn't work is because the undertone of positive thinking is lack. So if I'm thinking positively, well, you know what, some guys just cut me off. Oh, let me think positively about that. Okay. Well, actually, the undertone of that is probably anger, frustration. Or if I'm thinking positively, I want to have more money. When I'm thinking more about having more money, it's because I don't have it. So the energy that's actually underneath that is lack. So the thought I send out into the divine spiritual system is what I'm going to attract back. So our thoughts and feelings need to be aligned. So talking about being cut off, the first thing is you do need to express it. You do need to give negativity a voice. Because we've been conditioned by society to shut it down, to sweep it under the carpet. And you see it all the time in society. You know, I see a lot of it within men and women. The fact that we don't actually express what's going on for us. And in fact, I was talking with a client just the last couple of days and about her boundaries, and she started to put boundaries in place and being very clear about that and started to get some real reactions from people around her, and she handled it beautifully. But as she is changing, you know, so her environment is also changing as well. So the important thing is with all negativity, is the second that you experience negativity, this is the important thing. You've been triggered back to the past and you're reliving that negativity, that past, in the here and the now. So you're not present. And so because the reaction of someone cutting you off is bringing something up for you. So what you need to do in that moment is you need to raise awareness to it. And so you need to, so the awareness, what the awareness does, it brings us into the presence, brings us into the here and the now. And when we're in the here and the now, we have to anchor that moment in, otherwise that we can, say in this case, experience road rage and maybe drive after that person. So by us saying, okay, you know what? That guy has just cut me off. I'm noticing that I want to scream and I want to shout and maybe I want to get that out. But actually, you know what? I just want to show, I want to acknowledge that, because the acknowledgement, expressing gratitude for that, actually changes my whole energetic vibration. And actually what it's doing is it's transforming that anger and that frustration into something that will serve you so that you can then respond as opposed to react. But also at the same time, it is very important in other situations as well to give negativity a voice. What we're not going to do is drive down the road after that person because we could get ourselves in trouble, especially in the US and in other places around the world. You don't know what's going to happen. So it's about taking care of yourself in that moment. And this is about acting for your own highest good. You know, that person in the car who's just cut you off probably has no idea what they've just done, because they are living unconsciously. And what's happened is the second you experience negativity as well, you've gone unconscious. And we can't see our unconscious. So the reaction that we're having and that negativity that's coming up is a message from you to you that something's not quite right or how you think it should be. And so in essence, you're actually taking care of yourself. And, you know, it's the fight, flight, or freeze response actually kicking in as well, because, you know, if I'm going through some traffic lights and it's changed to green and I can go and somebody's cut me off, if I don't have that reaction come up, I could actually drive out and hit that person and I end up being injured. So it also, the reaction of the fight, flight, freeze response actually helps us as well. But it's then what we do with it afterwards. You know, do we actually then go off to our friends and say, do you know what? Some idiot just cut me off and spend the next 2 or 3 hours immersed in the negativity. Because when we experience that mood, the longer that we spend our time in that mood, what then happens is weeks can become months. And then what we then start to do is becomes a temperament. And then the longer than that goes on, it can actually start to change our personality, because we start to hardwire the brain and the neurology in the body. And actually, that's not going to serve us down the line. So what we need to do is express gratitude and say, you know what, that's a gift. That person just cut me off. Okay, and what I'm expressing gratitude for is my own negativity saving me in that situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's like a nuance, right? Because it's not saying, hey, I'm grateful that that guy cut me off and I'm feeling positive about that. You're saying, hey, I'm grateful for this negative feeling that's coming up, because now I can become aware of that negativity, that it's a signal to me that it's time to wake up. There's something that's a little bit that needs attention here, right?
Yeah, completely. And so just one other thing, if I then, you know, go down the road and I'm going out to have lunch with a friend, or I'm going to go and stay in a hotel, and as I check into that hotel, the manager of the hotel said something to me and I get triggered by that person as well, to the point when I want to poke him in the nose, then again, if I'm being triggered by somebody cutting me off and I'm being triggered by something that somebody says to me in the hotel, then there's a pattern there, and we've got and I would invite people to start to recognize those things that are showing up in their life. Otherwise, they will come back to bite them at some point in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here, I'll give a real transparent, real life example. I've had a little bit of a stressful morning because we're, we're preparing to go on a little weekend trip, me, my wife, and daughter. And after I'm done with this interview, we'll probably get out the door or whatever. So what might I do to let go of some of that stress, let go of the negativity, so I can be present and, available to my family today?
Okay. So what I would invite you to do is, you know, is to remember the time that you had a really great time with your family. You know, if you notice that the stress and the anxiety is coming up and that you're in hurry up and you're rushing around, one, that's not going to serve you, because you've got all that negative energy that's flowing through the body, all those chemicals that are not really serving you. That what's happening is, in terms of the brain, you're going to high beta brain waves. And when you're in high beta brain waves, which is high stress, you actually can't think and you can't create, and you can't think clearly and you can't create anything in your life. So if you can then say, you know what, actually, I recognize in this moment that I am in a stressful situation, whether it be mild stress or high stress, just that awareness alone, if you then start to breathe. So what I do is I have something called a WIN technique, W-I-N. And so whenever I'm going to go, if I think I'm going to go into a stressful situation, or if I'm going to come say on an interview like this, or, you know, I want myself to be in my best state. So what I will do is I will walk in a figure eight, which is the W. And as I'm walking, I'm breathing. Because what happens is when we go into, when we're in stress, we actually stop breathing. And then we're cutting off the oxygen to the brain. So actually, if we then start to walk, just gently, I walk in a figure eight and I'm breathing. And then the I is I'm setting my intention. So as I set my intention, I'm setting my intention for the outcome that I want to have. So your outcome could be, you know what? I'm going to go away with my family. I want to have an amazing time. The last time I went there, it was jerk. We did this. We did this. We did this. And you start to remember, allow those memories to come into you. And then you, which then, so that's the awareness. The awareness is aware that you're stressed. That brings you into the here and the now. The acknowledgement of that to say, you know what? Actually, I want to express gratitude for that lesson that's coming up for me. And now in the gratitude, I want to remember all those great times I had with my wife and my daughter. And wow, that's just amazing. Then the gratitude starts to flow through the body. And as the gratitude starts to flow through the body, you get all those great healing chemicals that come in. And then your brain waves start to change. They come from high beta to medium beta and to low beta into alpha. And then you're in peak performance. And then from that point, then you can really go out and have a great time with your daughter, you know, and your wife. And so that's what I would one of the things I would recommend.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm going to do some figure eights after we're done with this interview. That sounds great.
And it doesn't have to take long, Norman. It can just take 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it. And all the pieces you're talking about, I have used at different times, but it sounds like you really bring that all together in your book. So let me ask you this, just to shift gears a little bit. I want to hear a little bit about your life as doing psychic readings. So take us there a little bit. So when did that start? When did you realize that that was kind of a part of your path and, you know, kind of a unique talent that you had?
Okay, so first thing I'd like to say is everybody has the gift of being psychic because we're all connected to the divine. However, people like myself, I work with it all the time. So I remember the first time I remember it was at the age of 7. And at the age of 7, I remember very vividly being visited by spirits. And it scared me so much that I actually made a conscious decision to close it down. And I used to have a little Norman boy that would sit outside my bedroom and watch over me and then would also come and play. And then it was later. So at this time when I said that everything changed in my life, it was at that point I had been doing some readings privately with people and, you know, and I sort of would be joking around people saying, oh, I'm psychic and all this kind of thing and they would say, okay, well, do a reading for me. And I say, okay, well, give me a piece of jewelry. And I remember I was in, I was at the Cannes Film Festival many years ago and somebody, I was on at a party and somebody gave me a ring and I picked up the ring and I read for him and he just said, there's no way you could know anything that you just said. Yeah. And it was all true. And then I started to put a bit more structure around it. And then I read for my wife, Lindsay, and she said, look, you need to be sharing this more and more and more. And so I developed my own system of being able to connect with the divine. So I do what is called higher self readings. The higher self is the true self. It's the self, it's the part of us that is omnipresent and is everywhere. And it's like it holds the blueprint for the divine life, which we can live if we choose to. So when I read for people, the first 20 minutes to 30 minutes before the reading starts, you know, I go into a private space, the space I'm actually in when I'm talking to you, and I connect. I have a little ritual I go through, and I literally physically step out of my body, and I invite the person I'm reading for, their higher self, into me, and then I invite their guides in. And then what happens is then I go into what I would describe as a trance, and I have a pen, and I literally say, okay, share with me everything I need to know, and I start to write in this journal I have. And 4 or 5 pages in, it tends to pause and slow down. And then I go back and I make it, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. And then I start to read the runes. So I pull a mini rune reading for them as well as part of my prep. And the runes are like little stones with symbols on. And the symbols have energy attached to them, but there's also a message and an action. Because the reason I step to one side is because I want to read through the other person's filters that I'm reading for. I also give rune readings as well as part of the overreading because people need action. People want to be able to go away and do some things. And so the reading is an hour long. And so people will come on the call, they contact me, you know, and then go on my website. They can book a reading very easy. My diary is on my website. And they book a time slot, they pay for the reading, and then we meet on Zoom. And so about the first 45 minutes, I'm doing the higher self reading. Their guides will pause me to give them a chance to ask questions. And everybody says to me, there's no way that you can know these things, or this is just spot on. And I read for a lady the other day, and, you know, and she just said, this is incredible. This is going to change my life. You have just helped me to understand the things I've been trying to understand for years. And because the thing, and I was on another show the other day, and it was a great, you know, I was talking with this host, and we were talking about it. And I say that when I'm speaking and I'm on stage, I will get permission from my audience to go into what I call funky foo-foo-wah-wah. And because I said, when you're working with spirit, I said, it can sometimes seem so esoteric that it's out there, but you need to be able to make it practical for people to use. Otherwise, it just becomes something, you know, just a nice conversation. And so when I'm reading for people, I've always wanted to make it to give them something which they can take away and use, which is why people keep coming back. You know, my diary is booked, you know, it's been pretty much booked all year for readings. You know, and then some people will cheekily email me off site and offline and say, well, you know, do you have any secret spaces? But you know, I think I'm now taking bookings for readings for October. And so it's something that I really love to do. It enables me to connect with people in a very unique way. When I run my events, so for example, when I run my event in Canada, I'm coming in a week early and I will be doing readings all week, you know, for people to prep them so they're ready for when they come into the event. And, you know, and then when we go into it's 48 hour negativity detox and rejuvenation. So when they come into that, they are ready. You know, they have different levels of thinking of things that they can be working with when they come into that space. So it's something that I love. It's something that I get a lot of joy from, and it's something that I know a lot of other people get a lot of joy from. And my daughter has the same gift, and my wife does. So sometimes if I get too caught up in life, and I do get caught up in life, you know, I get very busy. If I'm not paying attention to my life, my guides will go and speak to Lindsay, and she'll come to me and say, I've got this message for you. I don't think it's mine. I said, no, that's mine. Yeah. And my daughter's the same. She'll give me a poke saying this, you know, I don't know what this is all about. And I say, oh yeah, that's mine. So it's, you know, it's a real joy. It is a real joy, and I absolutely adore it and love it. And if listeners want to come and experience it, by all means, you know, please, you know, just go to my calendar on my website and just book yourself a time slot in.
Great, great. And we'll have a link in the show notes for people to access your website. And that sounds amazing. Yeah, and I can identify, you know, my wife, her twin sister, and their mother have, you know, I don't know if they're quite on the, you know, I'm sure it's a spectrum there, but they definitely have very strong intuitions about things. And, you know, I'm sure they could probably hone their psychic abilities as well. It seems like they've always got stuff coming up like that. Let me ask you that. This might sound like a strange question, but what do you think is actually going on? And what I mean by that is, you know, people have so many different worldviews about, you know, what's going on here. You know, we're floating around on this little blue ball, and some people think, you know, this is all there is. Other people think there's heaven and hell. And, you know, you're talking about spirit guides, and I'm asking this not in any kind of sarcastic way, but just in a very open-minded way. Mm-hmm. What's going on? So what you think there's – you have experienced spirit guides that are communicating to you. Happens when we die, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So let me give you a few views on this. So I'm very fortunate that – so my nanny, Reen, bless her, she passed away 4 or 5 years ago. And she was just such an incredible person. And I had 40 years of very, very happy memories. And every now and again, she will, when I'm driving, I will have Danny O'Donnell come on the radio. The channel will just change, you know, and Danny O'Donnell, which was a favorite musician, will come on, and she will then be sat in the driver's passenger seat next to me. And I physically see her. I'm very lucky to be able to see that.
Oh, wow.
Now, I was on a friend's event about 18 months ago, and I was very fortunate to have my brain mapped during a meditation. And during this meditation, I a lot of things was happening. So the brain naturally vibrates between 10 and 60 megahertz squared. That's normal. Everybody vibrates at that. But in the first 45 seconds, I was channeling energy at 500,000 megahertz squared. At 45 minutes in, I was channeling 2.5 million megahertz squared. And when my friend was showed my brain map to other neuroscientists, they said, oh, he's having a seizure. And he said, well, he can't be having a seizure because of this line here, which was a lexicon, because I could remember everything. So what was happening in this journey, this meditation, is I left this plane in terms of where we are. And I went into this room. And this room was like, the only way to describe it was like there was millions and millions and millions of TV screens, just to make it simple to people understand. And each one of those TV screens, and there's millions of them, and they're like little tiny dots, was a dimension that and quantum physics has proven this, that I operate in and that I live in from a multi-universe perspective. And I could literally press, we went there four times, and I pressed like one of these TV screens, and I was immediately transported to that dimension. And it wasn't like at the beginning of a story. It was like if you switch channels on a TV, you're halfway through a story, and I'm there having this full-on sensory experience. And then I would change the channel literally, and I would be then in another dimension, then another dimension. So somebody described this in a way to me the other day when I was talking to somebody, and if you imagine a tiny, tiny little pinprick, okay? So if you take a pinprick, now what is that and how small that is? That's who we are on a human perspective. So quantum physics, and there's a physicist back in the 1920s called Niels Bohr. He was from Denmark. And he has proven through quantum physics that we are actually, if you take the physical body and you go down to the organs, and then through the organs you go down to right the way down into the protons and beyond protons, and we are pure energy, and we are actually 0.0000000001% physical. The rest of us is energy, and that's now been proven. So if you think about this pinprick, behind that pinprick is who we are, is this divine essence, this divine presence. So we are more than what we actually see. You know, we are actually unlimited beings, and we can create anything in our life. But the reason we're on the earth plane, for want of a better description, is so that we can learn, so that we can have a certain experience. And, you know, I often, when I'm reading for people, they say, I'm so tired. I'm so, so tired. I go to bed at night really early, and I wake up and I'm exhausted. And it's because they're traveling. And what I mean by traveling, they're astral traveling in their sleep. They're actually leaving, because that's the point where actually our autonomic nervous system can take over, and spirit can then actually go and travel and do some work. And as I'm talking to you, I'm vibrating. So spirit can actually go and do the work that it needs to do. So we actually then go and visit other dimensions, and then we wake up and we wonder why we're so blooming tired, because actually we've been working all night. And so, you know, quantum physics has been proving this. So science and spirituality are now actually coming together very, very beautifully. And a very good friend of mine, Dr. Joe Dispenza, he is actually now measuring all this as well through brain mapping and looking at what goes on from a chemical perspective in the body. And there's lots of Hay House speakers and teachers that are also measuring this. And so it's not new anymore. You know, people are now, we're now being able to prove that we are more than what we actually see in the mirror.
Wow. Clayton, I feel like I could probably have you on for 2 hours more and talk about this stuff. This might be part of the direction I want to go with my show, is just to explore some of this stuff. I love hearing about that, and thinking about the vast possibilities of what's going on out there, or in here, as the case may be. So I do want to wind things down a little bit, and, you know, maybe we'll have you back on at a future date.
I would love that.
We could just keep going on this, but I always like to ask our guests, you know, you've done so much so far. You've had that journey from your previous life as a tax accountant to what you're doing now. But looking towards the future, I always like to ask people, what do you have like a vision? And this is what I like to call it, is your cringeworthy vision, a vision so big that you cringe just to even think about sharing it with other people. Now, I'm guessing that you're probably pretty practiced at sharing things like this, but do you have a big cringeworthy vision?
I do have a big cringeworthy. I really do. And it was funny when I read that in your notes, to reach a billion people. You know, to reach a billion people and to touch the lives of a billion people. And, you know, it was very interesting, you know, when we stay in hotel rooms all around the world, we go in there and you see a Bible in most hotel rooms all around the world, and that's a beautiful story, and different belief systems that follow that. I would love, and that reaches, billions and billions of people over time and space, and I would love to be able to have the same sort of impact that, my work, reaches people, to that kind of extent. So that in a way completely freaks me out, and in another way completely excites me, because we don't have to be experiencing the negativity in the way that we're experiencing it. It's there for us to use as an energy to enable us to thrive. And for me, the true meaning of the ego is to expand your greatness out. And if we can just allow that energy within us to rise up. And just one final point on that. If I said to you that if you think about the energy it takes to put a rocket into space, if I said to you, your listeners, that we have the same energy trapped in our lower three energy centers, and if we can access that energy, which is what the ego's code is all about, we can actually transform our lives, but not just our own lives, transform the world. The opening chapter of my book is Through the Eyes of the One. It is not just about us, but we need to take care of ourselves first so that we can contribute the most maximum way to this beautiful earth and, while we're here. So it's, for me, it's, it's a big mission. It's a big journey. And it's, it does cringe me in terms of how do I get there? But the how is none of my business.
Well, Clayton, it's been a pleasure to have you here. I always want to make sure and ask, for our listeners' sake, where on the internet can we find you?
Fanta, thank you. So people can follow me on Twitter. They can follow me on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram. But what I would really, really love is for people to go to my website, which is ClaytonJohnAinger.com. Sign up to my newsletter. I've got some new meditations that are coming. So there'll be 3 free meditations, which will be available September, October, and November. They are in production now. There's a great blog that I do. I have Wednesday Whispers that come out, a Friday Night Firework. So there's lots of information that I share with people to enable them to really, help themselves to live their best life and to fall in love with their life and, to deal with some of the wounds that they're experiencing, but also to really to fall in love with themselves and fall in love with their life.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks so much for what you've offered already on the podcast here. And Hell Yes Life listeners, be sure and check out Clayton's website, sign up for his email newsletter. I know I'm going to, and I look forward to continuing to connect with you in the future, Clayton. So I always like to close out our time by saying Hell Yes together with my guests. On the count of 3, are you ready to do that?
I am, Norman. Let's go for it.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Hell yes. All right. Thanks so much for joining me, Clayton.
Thank you, Norman, for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved the whole experience. And, if you'd like to have me back on, I would love to come on again in the future. That would be amazing. So thank you for having me.
Love it. Thank you, Clayton. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a hell yes life.